If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. And Savannah, it's good to see you. I just saw you back there. And Savannah's got her boyfriend back. Oh, and I also want to say what a joy it is to have David here, Amy's husband. So, David, glad you're here with us today. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so excited that today is Resurrection Day, and we should be celebrating every day the resurrection of your Son Jesus from the dead. What life it gives to us, what joy it brings, what peace it instills within our hearts. And Father, we pray today that you will speak to us from heaven. Let every word of this message be from you, Lord, nothing from my thoughts or my flesh. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name that we ask. Amen. Well, I call today's message the best Sunday ever known. You know, one of the greatest things is the birth of Jesus, but the greatest thing that ever happened was Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday. Because without those three things happening, the birth, the cross, and the tomb, we wouldn't be here today. We would really have no reason to even live, really, because we would have a future ahead of us that would be very grim, a judgment that would be terrible. But God looked ahead into the future, and he saw you and I. That's how great my God is, how great our wonderful Heavenly Father is. That he looked into the future and he saw your life and my life, and he knew that he didn't want to send his creation to hell. So he gave us a free will, and it's a choice. It's a choice that you and I have to make, whether we follow Jesus and believe on him, or we follow Satan. I hope and pray today that everybody here has made the choice to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I know that I have, and I thank God that I did. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and one day I'm heading to that heavenly city. So today is the best Sunday ever known. I want to call my first point today a miracle. Verses 1 through 4 talks about the stone being rolled away. And, you know, I spent a lot of years of my life thinking about this, and I thought, you know, the stone was rolled away and then Jesus came out. But, you know, one time when I was studying about the resurrection, I started to pray, and I received what I feel in my heart to be a different perception there. The stone wasn't rolled back so that Jesus could come out. And I say that because when the disciples were locked up in that upper room for fear of the guards coming to get them, do you remember when Jesus appeared, that he came right through the locked door? He came into the room where they were at. So I feel like Jesus just came out of the tomb, and the real reason the stone was rolled back was because of the ones who were going down to the tomb to anoint his body. That stone was rolled away for them so they could actually enter into the tomb and see for themselves that Jesus was not there. See, Jesus had been going around telling everybody that he was going to, that the temple was going to be destroyed, but in 3 days it would be built up again. He was talking about his body. He was talking about his own life. That in 3 days it would be built back, meaning that he would raise from the dead. And people and his disciples heard this time and time and again. You know, I wonder sometimes if things that we hear, do they really attach to us, and do we really cling on to what they say and mean? Because this is a great miracle. What would your reaction have been if you were alive back then and you went down to the tomb and you looked inside and you saw the burial clothes laid to the side? What would your reaction be? Oh, well, he's alive. Well, great. He said he was going to do it. He told us 30 or 40 times. Now, I don't think that'd be your reaction. I think a lot of people, there would be a mixture of joyful tears, because what you would cling on to, what you heard, you took it upon in your heart, and you held on to those words of Jesus. And when you saw that he was not there, you would know that he had risen. But the angel told them, he's not here, he has risen. And the angel had told them that they would find him and he would reveal himself. So the people go in and see that the tomb is empty. Now, I think I preached about it last year, but I want to highlight it again. See, when Jesus' burial clothes were laid aside, there was a napkin that was placed over his face. And back in old tradition, when a master would be at a table and he would be eating his dinner, if he was done, he would take his napkin and fold it a certain way, and he would lay it aside, signifying that he was done with his dinner. But if he didn't fold his napkin a certain way and put it aside, and the servant saw it, they knew that he was coming back. So the significance with Jesus had folded this facial napkin and laid it aside, basically saying to the people, I am coming again. So see, you and I have a hope today. The tomb, the burial place today is empty. And only thing I can say to that is hallelujah and thank you, Lord Jesus. And on that day, the guards shook in fear of him. Could you imagine having been a guard and the angels appearing and that stone rolling back? No wonder that some of them fell like and were like dead men. I think I would have been in the same way. Secondly, the message, verses 5 through 7. Jesus had risen from the dead. And it happened just as he told them. If you notice the one thing about the gospel, about Jesus' words, everything Jesus said it a certain way because it was his Father's word. And how Jesus said it, it was told in significance because that's the way it would unfold. So when Jesus told the people and told the disciples a certain way that things would be done, that that's how it was going to happen. The disciples needed to be, the disciples, even though they were told, though, guess what they did at the crucifixion? They ran away in fear. And why did the disciples run away in fear? Because the disciples were afraid that the same thing was going to happen to them that happened to Jesus. Now, I don't know this because now when Jesus was beaten with a cat of nine tails, the Bible doesn't say who all was there and watched it. I don't know if the disciples got to see it or not. If they did, what a horrific thing they had to watch. Anybody who saw the beating of Jesus, there was a horrific scene. But the disciples ran away and locked themselves in an upper room because to them, they saw Jesus beaten. They saw him carry a cross. They saw him nailed to the cross. And after he was nailed to the cross and he hung on the cross for about 6 to 8 hours, and then Jesus said, "It is finished." Basically, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." And Jesus took his last breath, and it was done. And Jesus' spirit left his body, and these disciples saw their master die, and all at once they lost hope. When they walked with him, and when they went on his ministry with him, they were okay. They didn't understand always a lot of the things that Jesus said and did, because you remember, the Lord's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So there's a lot of things I still read that I scratch my head and I say, "Lord, give me some clarity on that, because maybe I don't quite understand it." And God always reveals to me through the Holy Spirit what I need to know about His Word. But anyway, the disciples lost all their hope. And they go run off to this upper room and they lock themselves up in there. And who knows how long they would have stayed because of fear, because of doubt, uncertainty, and most notably, the anxiety of the entire situation. To them, Jesus is dead. He's been laid in a tomb. And they're probably thinking, "Well, that's it. Even though Jesus said that I would rise again," in their minds, they're thinking, "He's dead. He's gone." And I guarantee you at that moment, the devil was probably having a heyday because Jesus is the devil's probably going, "Yeah, hey, I got him. Look, your Jesus is in a tomb." But little did he realize that 3 days later, the King of Kings was going to come out just like he told them. Thirdly, the manifestation. Now, I didn't read verses 8 through 10. But I'll read 9 and 10 real quick. It says, "And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, 'Rejoice.'" You know what Jesus always telling them? Rejoice. Jesus is always telling people to be happy. Why did he say rejoice? Because in him, there is true joy. That's why. There's true joy in him. "So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" So the resurrection brought a lot of joy. The resurrection, it was done, and now Jesus is manifesting himself by telling them, "Tell my disciples to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." He's wanting them to know that he is alive, that he is not dead. He told that and revealed himself to the women that went to the tomb. And what did they do? I mean, they didn't stand there and talk to Jesus about everything. They took off. They took off running to go tell the disciples about it. And you know that in the book, if you read some of the other Gospels, Matthew through John, they all have a different interpretation or how they wrote how the resurrection took. But in John, it talks about Peter and John running to the tomb, and John ran on ahead of Peter. And they found the stone and the empty tomb, just like Mary told them. Mary told them he's risen. Could you imagine Peter and John? Oh, I mean, the excitement that these guys are feeling. I would have been crying big tears of joy. And it, you know, I run fast in a race, but by golly, I would have been running a whole lot faster to get to the tomb, to see the place where he had laid, but he wasn't there anymore. You know, I can also imagine that these people that had seen Jesus, how excited they were. How many of you, when you haven't seen a family member for such a long time, that when you hear that they're coming for a visit, that the excitement builds up? Oh, I'm telling you. Now, my grandkids live over here in Carbondale, and we live in between Marion and Crab Orchard. But if I know my grandkids are coming over, or if I know we're going to go over and see them, I have a lot of joy because I love my grandkids. And I know I'm going to get hugs from the prettiest granddaughters this side of the Mississippi River. And I know they're going to love on their pawpaw, and that's all right. That's something that fills my heart with a lot of joy. But Jesus is greater than that. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Lamb who was slain. He's the one who gave His life. He did something that no other man could ever do. He died on Friday on a cross, and Sunday came back to life. Now there's something you have to understand. We had a funeral a while back, and I'm not picking on a church or religion. I'm not, but I want to point this out, and I'm not saying what religion it is. But we had a funeral at this church, and this lady was a member there, and she'd been cremated, and anyway, I heard the preacher talking, and the preacher says, "Well, our dear sister, she is now asleep, and she'll remain that way until the Lord comes again." And I always wanted to laugh and have a discussion with these kind of preachers. Because see, when Jesus, excuse me, I'm going to give you your frog back, Laura. Let me get a drink real quick. When Jesus died and rose again, He died, His spirit left His body, He went down into hell to take the keys of death, hell, and the grave away from Satan, and to set free the Old Testament saints and others who had died, you know, before the crucifixion and resurrection, to set them free so that they could go and be in heaven with Jesus. And then on the third day, when all had been completed, and that's another sermon I'll have to get into some other time, but when Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, that's the resurrection promise for you and I. And that's what's exciting about this. And I want you to think about it. When you and I die, you don't lay dormant in your body. I want you to get that straight. That's what the resurrection's all about. The moment you die, the Bible says, and this goes for a Christian person, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When Jesus was dying on that cross, there was a thief hanging on one side of Jesus, and he said, "Remember me when you enter your kingdom." And Jesus told him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He didn't say tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So the moment you die, Christian, you will leave your body immediately, and you will immediately, in the twinkling of an eye, you'll be right in the presence of the Lord. It's not a scary thing. It's a joyful thing. And that's why Jesus died, was to take away the fear and the sting of death. And yet so many of us fear death itself. Death is nothing to fear. Because when you're laying on that deathbed, if it comes down to that, or if the rapture happens first and we get taken out of here, however it happens, know this, you will go to be with Jesus for all of eternity. For all of eternity. Your name as a Christian has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that name, your name will never be taken out of that Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus died one time on the cross, and He rose from the dead one time for you and I. And that's all that it took. And all we have to do is accept that gift. That's all we have to do is accept it and believe on Him. Think a minute also about the thief on the cross. Did the thief give an offering? No. Did he go to church? No. Did he say the sinner's prayer? No. What did he do? He simply believed on Jesus. He simply believed. He said, "Remember me when you enter your kingdom." And Jesus told him, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." See, Jesus saw that thief's heart, and He knew the thief believed. He knew that the thief wanted to be with Him. He could see the depths of His love for him. And Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And that's what He is saying to you and I today. So it's always a blessing when I get to work the funeral of a Christian who has gone on already. Because you know what? They may have left the physical body, but they are alive and with Jesus. And there now here's where the resurrection day comes for the dead in Christ. Here's where our resurrection comes. If we die before Jesus comes back, and we're Christians, the resurrection happens at the moment of the return of Jesus, because the Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first, and the spirit and the body will be quickly brought together and changed, and those that are remaining will be quickly changed and caught up to meet Him in the air. And do you know all that happens? Well, I can't snap that fast. I can't even think that fast. My wife would tell you I can't think that fast. But I couldn't even think that fast. It's incredible. It makes my mind spin knowing that the dead body that's in the ground, it will be raised. That's why Jesus came out of the tomb, because the dead physical body will be raised again, just as Jesus was on Resurrection Sunday. So when your loved ones have passed, it's just the body that died. They are alive in heaven. We should rejoice. We should be happy. I mean, yes, it's painful. I'm not saying there's no pain and sorrow and death, because there is. Every human being feels it. I feel it for my aunt. I miss her. But thank God she's in heaven and she is alive, And what we're putting in the ground next Saturday is just what's left of that body. And it will be raised again on that resurrection day when Jesus comes back. I'm going to skip over the next part that I was going to talk about, the cover-up. Well, you all know how the guards devised a plan to save theirself. They didn't want to look dumb. They didn't want the truth to come out that Jesus came back like he said he would, an angel came back and rolled back the stone, because they were afraid what would happen to them. So I'm not going to go all deep into that. But lastly, I want to look at the mandate that Jesus gave, which is called the Great Commission. When Jesus had appeared to his disciples, the disciples received him. Of course, you remember doubting Thomas. Thomas says, "Well, Lord, if it's you, let me see the nail prints. And let me place your fingers, or let me place my fingers in your side where that spear had been thrust." I hope it doesn't take that much persuasion for us to believe in the Lord. But when the disciples saw him and Jesus had given him a great commission, and I call this part to go tell the world, he said to make disciples. You know, when I hear Christian people say, "Well, I wonder what God's will is for my life," I just told you. You know what your will is? Make disciples. Well, how do we make disciples? Well, we go and tell others about Jesus. We instruct people in God's Word. We share His love. We go to those who are hurting. But we tell people about Jesus. And when people get saved, we make sure that they're getting to know the Word, that they're feeding on the Word, that it is getting to them so that they can grow in Christ their self. Because do you realize that when we get something started and keep it growing, it will continue to go on and go on and go on? What year was Boscadale Church built? 1906. What year is it now? 2023. And guess what's going on? Boscadale Baptist Church is still happening. Why? Because some people had a vision and they had a belief that and they served the Lord and they started this church and they got it built. And over the years, oh, I'd love to see pictures of the mass amounts of people that were here over the years. I love to see the old church history pictures because I'm thinking how great it would have been to have sat with that group and heard that preacher or the next preacher after that. How wonderful it would have been to go down to the old pond and seen the baptisms that were happening. That's what it's all about. Making disciples. And Boscadale and let's say Myrdale Baptist, there's other churches all around Southern Illinois that are still going today because they've been making disciples. And God doesn't want us to ever stop, so we can never say, "Well, God, I've witnessed to 50 people over my lifetime. I guess I'm done now." No, you're not. I'm not even done. But we are to be the example. We are supposed to tell people everywhere we go. The Bible says to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit because Jesus Himself was baptized. And when we get saved, we want to follow in the ordinances of our Lord Jesus Christ. If He was baptized, now baptism doesn't get you to heaven. It does not. Salvation, believing on the Lord Jesus, gets you into heaven. You can go get baptized 1,000 times. You can have oil poured all over your head and He's going to get you into heaven. My grandfather used to tell me, you could stand in a garage and it does not make you a Chevrolet automobile. And boy, how true that is. You could stand in the garage all day, you're still not a car. So you could do everything else that we think was righteous to get to heaven. That doesn't make you a Christian. Believing makes you a Christian. Accepting Jesus. So we follow Christ in baptism because we're burying the old man. It's a symbol of burial. We bury the old man, raised up out of the water to a new life in Christ. And then Jesus says, teach them. And what are we supposed to learn from the teaching? We are supposed to observe all things that Christ has commanded, and even greater. The last part of verse 20, Jesus says, lo, I am with you always. Jesus didn't say, I'm with you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, or on the weekend, or I'll be here Monday, Thursday, and Sunday. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So, what do we have to fear? Nothing. I have nothing to fear. You know what? I have nothing to lose. I used to think that having a great job and a nice home and the finest car and a great retirement, boy, I thought that was the greatest thing to have in this world. I thought, man, I had it made. Until I got Jesus. And when I had my senses smacked into my head, and I took a long, hard look at life, I realized how much I needed Him every day. So I want you to think about it. What's been said today? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him. Jesus said that Himself. You can't make it into heaven by saying, Lord, I went to church. I attended Sunday school. My name was on the roll. I brought my $1.50 and, you know, all through kids' Sunday school every Sunday and did all this. Jesus will say, depart from me, I never knew you. But those of us who've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, when we die, we raise up into that new life in heaven for all of eternity. And we'll never, and boy, we get to see Jesus. What I want you to do today, I want you to be like the disciples who heard the message from Jesus. Jesus said He was going to appear to them. Do you know what Jesus said before He ascended back to heaven? He said, as you see me go, I'm coming again. So guess what? Jesus is coming again so that we can see Him. Or when we die, we'll go be with Him. And I believe He's right there waiting on us. I do believe that. I've been with some people by their bedside when they were passing away, either at the hospital or at home under hospice care. And I've heard some things that would just make the hairs on your arm just stand up. Every time that feeling hits me, it just gets me. Because I can't tell you that feeling so strong in the room. The multitude of angels that were there, the presence of the Lord was in that place, and the peace that passed all understanding. One day I'm going to see Jesus. What about you?